From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, it's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On today's program, we feature beers from the Pacific Northwest, including four beers from Washington and two from the great state of Oregon. Four of them are IPAs. We have a strange brew from Rogue Ales and a barley wine from the Pike Brewing Company in Seattle, Washington. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, and Brandon Hofer. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Still, did you guys have fun?
Still recovering from my hangover.
Well, we're predicting a doozy anyways.
Yeah, so we'll drop the fourth wall. We're recording this on the 29th of December, and tomorrow we're heading up the hill to Burton and Joel's cabin to spend New Year's up in the snow. And we weren't going to get a chance to record a podcast next weekend, so we are doing it tonight on Tuesday night. So we have a show full of beer, Pacific Northwest beer, Washington and Oregon. And I figured we'd start it out with a little trivia. And originally, I was just going to make this a Washington beer show, but a couple Oregon beers crept in. So the trivia questions are, so there's the list of the top states that have the most craft breweries in the country. Where do you imagine Washington falls on that list?
Is like a percentage or like the actual number of breweries?
Fourth would be my guess. Brandon stole mine. I'm going to go with third.
It's actually second. Number two on the list. Number one is obviously California. Number two, Washington. Number three, Colorado. Number four, Oregon. So
had the right top four, just in wrong order.
Right. Okay, next question. What is the largest brewery in Washington that is not partially owned by Anheuser-Busch InBev?
Widmer.
That is Oregon, right?
I think so. For some reason, I thought it was Seattle.
You're not going to get this.
Olympia.
It is Georgetown Brewing Company in the Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood. Should've known. It only sells draft beer, and it sells beer through 500 bars in and around the Seattle area. So it's a really big one that we've never had before.
That was my second choice.
And then I have a fun fact. The city in America that has the highest number of beer snobs, percentage-wise, is Bellingham, Washington. And this is calculated by the fact that in Bellingham, 92% of bars and restaurants do not serve Bud Light, Coors Light, or Miller Lite.
And move there. Do the show from there.
Okay, well, let's move into the first beer of the day. We have from the Pike Brewing Company, this is Space Needle Golden IPA from Seattle, Washington. 6.5%. And we've had this beer in the fridge for a while. I hope that it's still fresh enough.
That's my concern.
Britain brought this back down from Seattle when they were up there about, I guess, probably 6 months ago. So it's a little old, but we'll try and
power through
and see if it can give it a fair shake.
Oh, I see a little sediment floating around.
More than a little sediment.
I was being generous.
Nice. A little chewy.
Little cloudy. Kind of a golden ale color, though.
They brewed this in barrels, and then just to get it out of the barrels, they just broke them all apart and just kind of let it fall into bottles.
Smell-wise, it smells pretty good. Pretty little bit hoppy.
It does smell pretty fruity. A little sweet smell.
A little citrus orange, maybe.
There's something wrong there. I don't know.
I got some a weird funk to it.
On the smell?
Like, I can pick up the hops and the citrus notes under that, but...
Taste-wise, I think it's... I like it. It's pretty good. It's got a kind of a fruit hop taste. It's not as maybe fresh as it could be, but you know, that could be just the age of the beer. But I think the flavor profile I enjoy. It's kind of a well balanced IPA with just enough of that hop bitterness, and the hop character itself is a little bit fruity to me. Maybe like a maybe a little bit melon.
Yeah, this is one we gotta try again, I think. They sell this here now. I've seen them in the store. Back then they didn't. But it's definitely not fresh. It kind of reminds me when our mystery box show we did that didn't ever make its way to the air. A lot of those beers we knew were old. You can just taste it. They were a little stale. And this has a lot of that characteristic. But I do pick up some of the citrus notes. I don't get a lot of the bitterness.
I get the impression just by tasting this, this is a pretty good IPA. So we'll have to maybe seek this out again and get more of a fresh bottle.
Yeah, I was just thinking this would have been a good one to try if we could have got it on one of the other shows when it was fresh. It seemed there's definitely some good qualities. I kind of pick up with Andy's going with the melon, or maybe Dal said it, I don't remember. But, you know, I think if you have this and it's not been sitting around for a while, you'd be impressed with it.
Yeah, I like this one. Now let's get into the beer news of the day. So last week, we were busy with Christmas and the holidays, and so we released a podcast where it was just Jeff and Andy and I on talking to them on Skype, and we set up this clip from 2014 when we tried a bunch of different Christmas and winter beers on that show. And it was a pretty good clip, and I listened back to it, and there was a kind of a funny part where I mentioned the price that we got on Southwest Airlines when we were going up to Portland, and Andy said, like, you know, maybe we should get a cut from them, or they should pay us for me talking them up. He's like, well, maybe instead of that, we get some free drink coupons, or maybe you just get some better beers on the flight. And just so happens today, there was this article in Travel Pulse that rates the major airlines by their beer selection. So it takes all the beers they have available, it looks up the beer's ratings on Rate Beer, and then it orders them and determines what airline has the best. So they have 9 on the list here. Southwest Airlines came in at number 6.
Is Alaska on the list?
Alaska is on the list, and it was quite good. It was second,
My guess was Alaska was going to be number 1. Would have been my guess. I've flown on them several times going to Portland, and every time I go up there, they always have local craft brews as one of the beer options.
Now, this is based on the Rate Beer rating,
mm-hmm.
But you can just kind of say Alaska has Alaskan Amber, Alaskan Free Ride, American Pale Ale, Kona Longboard, Bud Light, Heineken. The one that beat it out was Delta Airlines, offering Blue Moon, Heineken, Miller Lite, Samuel Adams, Sweetwater 420 Extra Pale Ale. I think that put it over the top there. That's an 82 beer.
The beginning of the list was kind of lackluster.
Yeah. And then compare that to Southwest Airlines, Bud Light, Miller Lite, Dos Equis, Fat Tire,
ugh,
Lion and Kugels, Cranberry, Ginger, Shandy.
You don't like Dos Equis,
Andy? That's it.
It's not. That's not a craft brew
Fat Tire
list.
I know which one you were yucking at. I knew it wasn't Dos Equis.
I didn't know that they reserved their cargo holds for dirt flavored beer. I need to get off that. All right.
And then the worst one, Spirit Airlines, Bud Light, Budweiser, Miller Light, Dos Equis.
Sign me up.
What else rounded out the list from top to bottom?
number one, Delta, number two, American, number three, United, number four, JetBlue, number five, Virgin, six, American.
Close enough. Yeah. I would have guessed Virgin would have been higher. But
they did not put them in order, so I'm having to sort them, you know, in my head as I read through the list. So that was a pretty interesting thing. I think in general, airlines, you know, we're in the, this is 2016 now, you know, in this day and age, we really should be able to have a little bit better beer selection, you know, just give us something.
Yeah.
Come on, airlines. We're going to pay $500 for our tickets. You're going to charge us $8 for a beer. You might as well give us good choices.
Agreed. All right. And then the next one. Another one busts the dust. Another one busts the dust. Ow! Another one busts the dust. Hey, hey! Another one busts the dust. Hey! It's been 2 weeks since I used this music, but I could have used it last week. It had already been announced. In fact, it was two breweries within a single week, and that was Four Peaks, and the new one is Breckenridge, have sold to Anheuser-Busch InBev. So that they joined Goose Island, Blue Point, 10 Barrel, which we're having a beer from tonight, Elysian, Golden Road from L.A., so there's quite a few that have went the way of the sellout.
Of the dodo?
I thought you were going to say the dark side. We're going to the Star Wars mania right now.
Star Wars mania.
Funny story, I've actually never had anything from Breckenridge, but when I was in college, one of my business classes, we had to do a strategic management project, and I did one of the companies that you could choose was Breckenridge Brewery, and that's what I did a whole company analysis on, was on Breckenridge Brewery. So just, I mean, this is a decade ago now, but I remember that. So
at that time,
did you foresee this?
Did you factor them into selling into?
I did not factor them into selling, but it was a good company. I mean, they had a unique product, and I've ever since then I've wanted to try it. So
now you will see it everywhere.
Probably. I'll have to give them a shot.
In February 15th, 2015, in the Denver Post blog, Todd Ursi, the brewmaster and general manager of Breckenridge, had this to say. The big thing to me is the craft beer industry was built on individuals and their stories. When craft breweries sell out, I think there is some serious authenticity that is lost and the brand loses, he says. We're not corporate. We are entrepreneurial and individual. Ursi, like others, is concerned about business ramifications of big beer buyouts. It's going to be harder and harder to get our voices heard at the wholesale level, he said. It's hard enough for craft beer in general to get meetings with big chain buyers. Now AB can go and pitch in and buy Elysian. So he was against it back then.
Funny how 10 months and a few $100 million can change your mind, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, since then, he's kind of changed his tone. Officials won him over by emphasizing that they were not looking to change any of the recipes, replace any of the leaders, or alter the way the brewery operates.
Give them a bunch of money.
They can stay the same way. A big motivator for me in finding a new owner was that, one, I was outvoted, and two, we have a responsibility to our shareholder group, Ursi said. I crossed my arms, did my posturing, gave them the best pissed off face, and listened to what they were interested in, and I was shocked. They weren't interested in messing up with what we do. It wasn't immediate, but I aligned with their vision. My goal is to prove them wrong and utilize this partnership to grow and better Breckenridge Brewery. My message to those people is, come see me in 6 months. It's going to stay Breckenridge, and it's going to get better.
Yeah, I don't think 6 months is the problem. It's 6 years or 60 years, you know?
Right, and it's for me, it's just about the competition for the people that don't sell out.
Yep.
They're having to compete. Now Breckenridge, they're going to be able to have the distribution and undercut people on price, and then it makes everything more difficult for the little guys. So
you know, that's just one more in this whole string of this. And, you know, you get tired of talking about it, but I thought this one was kind of interesting because we had the quotes from just, you know, less than a year ago.
Yep.
And then now how things change in such a short period of time.
He is the least interesting man in the world.
I always drink beer. And when I do, I prefer good beer.
Never stay thirsty, my friends.
That was a commercial from Breckenridge that they had online. So I thought it was interesting that before they were kind of making fun of Dos Equis and the big, you know, the mainstream beer. Dos Equis is owned by Heineken. So I thought maybe Dos Equis was an AB product, but it's not. So they're not completely going against their new masters. All right, well, let's move into the next beer of the day. We have from Backwoods Brewing Company, Log Yard IPA. It comes in a can, as you heard, 6.7%. Now, three of the beers on the show tonight were given to me by my good buddy Jack Sauer, who lives up in Vancouver, Washington. And so he was home for Christmas and brought down a few beers that he's had at some of the local breweries in that area. So some of these are the ones that he brought us. So thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. Looking forward to trying something new. So just on color with this first one, it's actually very similar in terms of IPA as the last one. Maybe a little bit more orange, but still kind of mostly a straw color, kind of a reddish yellow.
A little less mossy water.
little less floaties.
I get kind of a orange peel on the smell.
Yeah, very, very floral. Wow. That's an aroma right there.
Definitely I get the orange, and you get that Northwest hops. You get the, like, a Cascade hop aroma. You know, it's definitely our style of beer, just on the aroma.
Oh, yes.
A little bit more tame on the hop flavor than I would expect from the aroma.
It's kind of a very fruity hop. It has a... definitely avoids the bitterness. It's more a fruity hop than a bitter hop.
Yep. For me, I definitely notice the hops up front, but it doesn't linger and you don't have that bitter aftertaste as much. I mean, I know we've drank some hoppy beers and we've drank some bitter beers, but for me, I really get the hop flavor up front, and then you really get some citrus notes on the back end. At least that's what I'm getting.
I would go as far as to call this one drinkable. It's pretty good.
Flavor-wise, I get some, like, peach or tangerine.
Yeah, peach for sure. That was where I was going next.
I'm going more citrusy.
Just on the, like, that crisp bite you get from the very first part of the sip is peach. It's like I'm biting into a peach.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. A little melon, too. I get kind of a...
like a passion fruit type of... yeah. I get that, too.
Pretty tasty.
That's great. I'm a big fan of that one.
Very, very crisp. You know, the hops are just right, and it's got a good bouquet. Is that one of Jeff's words? I don't remember.
I think it is.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. We had a comment on a beer that we haven't even uploaded photos or written the description yet. But it was by SoCali from San Diego. And the beer is Willy Vanilli from Alpine Beer Company. Love this beer. The best, but I can't find it anywhere besides Kiehl's, the grocery store. So this is a situation where I want to encourage people to, if you've had a beer and you really like it, as obviously that SoCali does, you can write a description of the beer, upload a photo, and then everybody can kind of get a better feel for how that beer is. Next time we're down in Southern California, we'll have to seek out Willy Vanilli and give that a try. So thanks for the recommendation. On December 23rd,
Moylan's White Christmas Spiced Winter Ale was the beer of the day. That was from our Christmas podcast 2 weeks ago. And Moylan's Brewery wrote back on Twitter and said, awesome. All bottles are now sold out at the brewery location at 15 Roland Way in Novato. So get them where you can soon. So if you see that one out there, there's no more coming from the brewery. And it was definitely one of the more festive Christmas beers that we had. All right. Let's get into the next beer. We have Top Cutter India Pale Ale from Bale Breaker Brewing Company.
Got me a little bit there, Andy.
Yakima, Washington. This is 6.8%. And this is another canned beer. And another one from a brewery I've never had before. Bale Breaker.
Ooh.
Hoppy?
That smells hoppy.
Color-wise, it's a golden colored, maybe a darker than straw colored.
I would say all the beers so far are about the same color.
I think this one's lighter.
There's a little more head on this one, though.
A little lighter on this one.
Quite a bit of white, foamy head.
This is the clearest beer we've had.
Very clear.
It's not as aromatic as the previous one.
For me, I get a much more danky, earthy smell aroma from this than the last one, where it was more a citrusy and floral aroma. This one's much more earthy and, you know.
Yeah, it has a little of that wet blanket aroma. Yeah.
I think it kind of carries over to the flavor, too. I mean, it's not nearly as bright as the last one that we had. It's a different type of IPA.
It is. This one is a little bit maltier, like where the other one had it concentrated on these fruity, higher in the spectrum hop flavors. This one has a little bit of a bready malt characteristic. And then the hops are definitely more dank, more resinous. It's not a fruity IPA. It's more of a, I guess you'd say, I wouldn't even say as fresh as pine IPA. It's like more.
Feels earthy to me.
It is earthy.
There's an acidity to it that I pick up, and I liken it to, like a lemon, you know, the citric acid from a lemon, but not so much of the lemon flavor, just kind of that little tingle in your tongue.
I will admit that my hop receptors are not as advanced as you all's, but I feel like I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada pale ale. Am I way off base on that?
No, I don't think so. I think you're not far off. I think it's a little hoppier than that.
But the flavor profile's similar.
This reminds me of that General Sherman from Tioga,
Sequoia.
It has the same hop profile.
Interesting can. It's got a green pull tab.
Yeah, it does.
So recently we had the Sierra Nevada Harvest Fresh Hop IPA, and that was, it was wet hopped, where it came within 24 hours from the plant into the kettle.
Yeah.
And for those type of beers, you kind of got a more earthy hop flavor, and I kind of get that same thing. It doesn't really taste as fresh to me as that, but I do get that same type of hop profile. But it's amazing. This is 6.8%. The previous one was a 6.7% IPA. You could not have more different beers comparing them to one another.
Especially in the same style. I mean, everybody has their own preferences, and it's still a good beer. I enjoy it.
Yes, but IPA is such a wide category. You know, these beers are so different, you'd think that they would have to be called a different name.
Well, there's so many more different hop varietals being grown now that it's just going to continue to widen. And I think that's a good thing.
I do too. You never know what you're going to get. You try two different beers you never had before, and you get two completely different beers.
All right, we're going to take our quick break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with a Honey Kolsch from Rogue Farms. We have one more IPA to try, and then we finish it out with a barley wine from the Pike Brewing Company. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Beer of the Day podcast. Well, the Christmas shopping season is over, but once again, I wanted to thank everybody for doing their Christmas shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. It really helps us out tremendously. It helps us pay for all this podcasting equipment, these beers that we're drinking, the website itself, the hosting, bandwidth, and it's really easy to do to help us out. All you have to do is do your shopping through the Beer of the Day website. We have an Amazon banner on the site. We also have a support Beer of the Day link in the community menu. You click that, you click the banner, go to Amazon, or the easiest way is just to go to amazon.beeroftheday.com. You do your regular shopping. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, yet we get a little piece of commission on that purchase, and it helps us keep the lights on here. For example, just today, somebody bought a Stanley 16-inch Series 2000 toolbox with a tray on Amazon. It cost them $9.85, and we got 64 of shiny those pennies that we can use to buy beer on a future podcast. And that's just one little item, but all these items add up, and it helps us out a lot. So remember, do your shopping through the Beer of the Day website. Also, this is our 31st episode. We're still a very new podcast. We haven't even been doing this for a full year yet. We're always trying to get new listeners. So if you have a friend that likes craft beer, tell them about the Beer of the Day podcast. Show them how to get a podcast on their phone, or just send them the link, beerofthedaypodcast.com, and that's going to help us out as well. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. If you've never heard this show before, this is our Strange Brew segment, where we find the strangest beer that we can find that fits the theme. And tonight, I went into the fridge and pulled out this beer from Rogue Farms, their Honey Kolsch. Rogue Ales is in Newport, Oregon, by the coast. And Rogue Farms is kind of a it's a series of beer that they make from what they grow on their farm. And usually they are a little bit different. And this one kind of fit the profile. You want to read a little bit about it, Andy?
Okay, so we have... they have some bees out on their farms here in Rogue Farms. It is situated across from 40 acres of Rogue hops. 119 colonies of bees were carefully kept and fed, and the honey was uncapped, extracted, filtered, and finally infused into a refreshing honey Kolsch ale. And, most of these Rogue beers have two of my favorite ingredients, that being the free-range coastal waters and the Pac-Man yeast. This one is missing one of those ingredients.
What's it replaced with?
The Pac-Man yeast has been replaced with Kolsch yeast, which makes sense.
It does, since it's called Honey Kolsch.
You guys probably aren't going to believe this, but this one smells like honey.
I get a lot of honey.
Me too. In fact,
your nose down in there?
I am. Maybe my nose is broken, but...
On the color, it's almost the color of champagne. If it didn't have, it's definitely not as effervescent, but it's a very, very pale beer.
It has a lot of light, very light carbonation, where if you swirl it, you see these little tiny bubbles.
Just a little bit of white head on it. I mean, it's it's about what I expected when I, you know, saw the style of beer. I think it fits the profile very well. Just on the nose, honey stands out to me. That's what I get.
Ton of honey. It's like you're smelling a jar of honey.
Yep. I can almost feel the bees buzzing around me in the beehive.
I don't smell as much honey as you guys do. Yeah. I mean, it's there.
I'm not smelling it at all. And I have honey on a regular basis.
There's
I'm
like
not
a,
getting anything.
A fresh, crisp quality to the aroma. How's it taste, Al?
Fresh and crisp.
It tastes great. This is a very light and smooth, very smooth, a little bit of a creamy texture to it. And, you know, there's like a little bit of wheat characteristics to it, I would say. But then you get this sweet little honey in the aftertaste. It's not overwhelming.
Not at all.
It's not, but you can definitely taste the honey. And you just get the impression that this beer is just so smooth and drinkable. And just a little bit of that honey sweetness, it makes it, I can't find fault in this beer. I'd recommend anyone to try it.
My bias before we tried it was going to be that it was a little syrupy and a little thick and honey, you know, a little too much honey. But it's extremely well balanced and it's very well crafted.
I do think if you drink a lot of this, eventually the honey will stack up and it'll be a little too much. But the one little glass is perfect.
It's just a very easy drinking beer. You know, if you don't like bitter beer, this is one that you should try. There's hardly any hops to it. You know, it's just a very easy drinking beer. It's not bitter. Little bit of sweetness to it. I tend to agree with Andy. You drink a whole 12-ounce glass, I think you'd be all right. But if you start having two, and I mean, it's a big bottle, but if it was a, you know, a normal 12-ounce pour or a pint, like after you had one or two, it may start to get a little too sweet. But just for you know, this little bit that we're having, it's a very easy drinking beer.
I think I can drink this is a big bottle here, the Big Bomber bottle, 750 milliliters. I can drink four of these, no problem.
I don't disagree with you, man. It's a very easy drinking beer. And, you know, there's a little bit of sweetness to it.
It's definitely a summer beer, which we probably got it in the summer.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was better than I expected. I have here the list of the top Washington beers. This is a list put together recently, within the last week, by Kendall Jones at the Washington Beer Blog. And he lists these beers in no particular order. Wonderland Trail IPA by Two Beers Brewing, Market Fresh Saison by Cloudburst Brewing, and Steve Luke left Elysian Brewing and started Cloudburst Brewing back in November of last year. And so this was one of his first beers.
Did he leave after they were bought out?
Yes, but he knew he was going to leave when they were going to sell. Wild Warehouse by Wander Brewing. According to the judges at the Great American Beer Festival, this is the best barrel-aged beer in America. Hop Tropic by Rubens Brews. Kiln and Cone by Holy Mountain Brewing. Watchstander Stout by Ghost Fish Brewing. Bodhisattva IPA by Georgetown Brewing. And Crony Northwest Brown Ale by Neely Brewhouse. So all these beers I have not had before. So definitely got to do a Washington beer trip at some point.
I was just thinking, it sounds like we need to make a trip to Washington because I haven't had any of those.
Never even heard of them.
Yeah.
It's great. We go to Portland and you run into a bunch of beers that you never would have otherwise. And I think that's what that list is. It's a bunch of beers that probably got to go there to get most of them.
Well, it's the same thing with our San Diego show. I mean, most of those you can't even get up here unless you go to the brewery or you try them.
It seems like to me, from all the reading I did online today, and even when I was up there 3 years ago, at least the Seattle beer scene is very close-knit. They tend to drink Seattle beers and distribute to Seattle stores and bars and restaurants, and then not really import too much or export too much. So it's kind of a very local scene. And I don't know where all these breweries are, if they're in the Seattle area or if they're other places throughout Washington, probably. But it would definitely be worth taking a trip up there and check it out. All right, let's move into the next beer. We have Joe IPA. This is from 10 Barrel Brewing Company in Bend, Oregon. 10 Barrel is one of those AB InBev purchases. And as far as I've been able to read, nothing has changed about the brewery since they sold to Anheuser-Busch. It's just easier to get their beers now. And this is kind of the perk of the sellout.
Was this one purchased locally?
No, Jack gave me this one. But I think you can get some 10 Barrel around here. I do know, like at the bar in town here, at Bull Wings, they have several different 10 Barrel beers on tap.
Yeah, this is their flagship. You can get this at most of the shops around town now. And it's funny, I noticed the week after that they had sold, they were distributed here. And I don't think that had anything to do with it, because that was already in the works. But it was just kind of a coincidence, I think.
Yeah, moving up to 6.9%. We went from 6.5, 6.7, 6.8, 6.9 on the IPAs.
So of the four that we've had tonight, this is by far the lightest in color. I mean, it's, I would say...
Of the IPAs.
Yeah, I'm not saying all the beers, but of the four IPAs that we've had, this is the lightest in terms of color. It's definitely more yellow than the amber colors or...
It is. I don't see a whole lot of carbonation here. The head is... pretty thin, you know, just one finger of kind of your standard looking off-white head.
I will say it's very hoppy on the aroma. I get a lot of it kind of similar to the Top Cutter, kind of more earthy rather than the floral hops.
Agreed.
But it's definitely very noticeable. So without tasting it, I would expect it to be a little more on the bitter side and not as floral.
And you're right. It is a little more earthy. I'd say it's not quite as earthy as Top Cutter, but it's more closer to that than it is to the Log Yard IPA, which was very fruity and floral.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a lot of the IPAs you saw 3 years ago, where they didn't get in the whole floral side. It's on the more floral side of what those were versus, you know, what we get today with all this crazy aroma.
I think, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I think too, I wouldn't necessarily discount the floral attributes. I think they're there. I would say it has a lot less of the fruity characteristics, like almost none at all. So that kind of makes it less sweet and you don't get those aromas and that flavor profile. So you really are getting a lot more hop.
Yeah, and it is quite hoppy. It doesn't really get into the overly bitter, but there is a fair amount of hops there.
I thought it was pretty bitter. I was actually curious what the IBUs is on that, if it tells us.
For me, I was going to get not guess, but it seems hoppier than it is. It's for me, I get a lot of hop and I don't get a lot of the other flavors to it. It's so if you like hop and you like bitter, that's what's kind of coming through for me. I don't get a lot of those depth of flavor to it. It's not a bad beer, but I don't know if it's my top one of the ones we've had tonight.
No, but it's a very good go-to IPA. If you're, you know, Dallas and I actually split a pitcher of this a couple weeks ago at the bar, and it was very drinkable, very enjoyable. So no complaints. It's a good beer to have if you're buying a case of beer, you know.
70 IBU is the estimate.
If you would have told me it was nearing 100, I wouldn't have been so surprised.
Not that bitter. It's bitter, but it's
no.
Not.
But it, for me, that's definitely what dominates the flavor. I don't get the depth of some of the other IPAs that we've had. And that's not saying anything against it, because I think it's a good beer. But I think that's what's more noticeable about this than anything else, at least for me.
I think you're right. Any other final thoughts on this one?
I did like that it had a little bit of a like a peppery, like a black pepper quality to it. And the other IPAs we had tonight were missing that. It didn't have that.
I get a little of that.
Yep.
It's not too noticeable, but
back of the throat.
Yeah. It's more in the aftertaste. All right, well, let's move into the last beer of the night. We have the 2014 Pike Old Body, BAWDY.
Old Bowdy.
This is a barley wine ale, 9.9%.
Just going to ramp it up by 3%.
And this is the Pike Brewing Company. This is the same brewery that did the Pike Brewing Company Space Needle Golden IPA that we started with. This being a barley wine, it takes more to aging. So the fact that this has been in the fridge for 6 months does not concern me.
Well, it's also already a 2014. So, I mean, it really, this is a beer you could put down for 10 years and still drink it and have a good experience.
I'm getting hints of cherry.
I really like the color. It has kind of a brick amber color. It looks kind of like a
little sediment, possibly.
Yeah, a little bit of sediment.
That color is, it's light brown, a little orangish. It's a good looking beer color wise. It's not completely opaque, but you can't see your finger through the beer.
This one has some floaties in it too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think Kira hit it good with the nose there, a little cherry on that first smell.
A little bit, caramel malt. And some booze.
Bourbon.
Yeah, I think that's typical. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want from a barley wine. You're going to have those kind of brown sugar and bourbon and sweet characteristics.
Yes.
Unless you're having Bigfoot, because that has none of those.
Okay, it takes a little bit of an adjustment to get used to the barley wine. So you have to take a couple sips here.
So go ahead, Andy.
There's a shocking number on this bottle, and I'll disclose it after we've had a few sips. Okay. But it's interesting, I would say the least.
It's not the price tag, is it?
No. $500. How much Amazon money did we get?
There was something on the first sip I took that I don't know if it was just because I was drinking the IPAs, or it was real bready. I mean, like a gingerbread almost, but without the ginger. Like, yeah, that's called bread.
It is. I'm not getting that. I mean, it's definitely maltier than those IPAs that we had.
It's definitely got the barley wine character. But it's also got some IPA notes there.
That's just not in your taste buds.
Maybe I've just been drinking 4 or 5 IPAs before this, but.
I'm going to be the first to admit, I don't have a lot of barley wines. I've tried a few. I mean, we've been on podcasts, we've had them on, but it's not one of the go-to styles for me. Not that I dislike them, but it's just hard for me to compare this to something else and say that, you know, this is a good one versus something else. Like, the only one that really stands out to me is Sierra Nevada's Bigfoot. And for me, that is not anything like this beer. I do not like Bigfoot.
Well, that's not really a good example of a barley wine either, because they really hop that up. I don't drink a lot of barley wines, but I do test them. And I would say that the good ones are ones that you can drink and the bad ones are ones
that
you
can't. Yeah.
And I think this is a good one at that, because it is drinkable. It's like drinking liquor where, you know, cheap liquor is hard to get down, but
good ones,
liquor's not. So it's that.
You know what's kind of funny about that statement to me? Like, there's a little irony there, because I feel like you guys are all big IPA drinkers. And I'd say the one that is easy, the IPA that's easy for me to drink, you guys do not think is a good IPA. And the IPAs that, you know, you guys like, I think, how could you possibly drink this? I wonder if a barley wine, enthusiast would feel the same way.
I don't know. I think I don't like generalizing it like that, because I think that it's all the perspective of the beer drinker. So if it's what you like and you drink it, I think that's good.
Yeah,
it's a good beer.
So for me, I will say it's a very smooth beer. You know, it's kind of got a little velvety quality. It lends itself to being aged a little bit.
It doesn't kick like a lot of barley wines. You know, you don't get too much of that alcoholic, you know, that.
No, but you can tell it's there.
You can. This has just enough sweetness, I think, that masks it. Once it warms up a little bit, I start to get more flavors from it. There's like some of the dark fruit that we got on some of those winter beers.
Yeah.
And then in the aftertaste, if I take just a very small sip of it, I get a little bit of vanilla.
Yeah, I can pick up vanilla. I expected there to be more of a cherry flavor, and I don't even get really dried cherry. I mean, I did definitely smell cherry, and I'm not picking up on a lot of cherry taste.
I could get like a cherry syrup.
See, for me, I kind of get a dried cherry flavor, you know.
As soon as you said that, it just clicked in my head.
I don't get
right
like,
on the initial
I don't get like
syrup.
a ripe cherry, like a fruit, but kind of the dried with the syrupy, the sugariness. I kind of get that. And I definitely get the vanilla too, a hint of vanilla to it.
Especially in the aftertaste, it really comes through pretty clearly to me.
So the number on the bottle that was surprising to me was the IBU. And part of it could be that it's a 2014, it's been sitting quite a while now, that any hop bitterness that's there has been worn off. But it's a 90 IBU beer.
Wow.
There's no bitterness to this beer.
Oh, there's some bitterness. I think even said it when you said it has kind of that like hoppy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to say there's no bitterness, but there's not 90. Nowhere near.
Compare this 90, to the last one. The last one blows it out of the water for me in terms of bitterness.
Definitely.
But any hop bitterness that would have been there would have faded away by now, I think.
And I think that's more the fact that it's been aged for a year. Maybe if we had this a year ago,
it'd be different.
You might change that. But personally, I think I like it better now. I think if we added a bunch of hops to us, I wouldn't like it as much as I do now.
Completely agree. You know, there's some beers that lend themselves to aging, and having the hoppiness kind of mellow out is great for this style of beer. In an IPA, like the first beer we had, those hops mellowed out and we ended up with an IPA that just didn't taste quite right. You can kind of get the essence of what it should be, but you didn't get, you could tell that it was missing something.
Yeah.
In this beer, I think it adds to it the fact that it did have all those hops in it, but now that's mellowed out and, you know, the beer in general has mellowed out, and so you get a really smooth barley wine. So I think it was good that we waited as long to try this beer.
I agree.
All right, well, let's recap the beers we've had, Andy, and we can move into choosing what our favorite beer of the day was.
Okay, so we started off with the Space Needle Golden IPA, then we moved on to the Log Yard IPA from Backwoods Brewing Company. Then we had the Top Cutter India Pale Ale from Bailbreaker Brewing Company. Came back from commercial with our strange brew, the Rogue Farms Honey Kolsch. Then we had our Joe IPA from Tin Barrel, and we finished it off there with the 2014 Pike Old Body from the Pike Brewing Company.
All right, let's spin the pen and see who's going to go first. And it's Brandon.
Okay, so just looking at all these beers and thinking back at what we had, I was actually very impressed with Rogue's Honey Kolsch, but for me, the beer of the day is going to be the Log Yard IPA from Backwoods Brewing Company. For me, I just think it was a very good drinkable IPA, very floral. The hop notes on it were very good, and I could see myself having several of those. So that's what I'm going with my beer of the day.
All right. I am going to completely echo with what Brandon just said. You do a Pacific Northwest show, and you want a beer that has that Pacific Northwest hop profile, which is the fruity hops, the ones that have a little bit of that melon characteristic. And I think that just spoke to me as definitely a Northwest style IPA. And so I'm going to definitely go with Log Yard IPA. The one Brandon kind of couched and said, you know, this one was good also. Honey Kolsch, very impressed with that also. So if I had to, you know, have a runner-up to make a shout-out to, that's the one I go with also.
I'm going to echo the echo of the echo and pick the Log Yard IPA as well. And I said it back on the Pelican show that this style of IPA, you know, the melon, the tropical fruit, those IPAs are going to explode. They already have, and they're going to just get bigger. We're going to see so much of this style of IPA. We're going to be tired of it. In 3 years, they're going to be brewing the same beer they were brewing 2 years ago because everybody's been worn out on this. But I'm happy to see what comes in the next few years and with the experimental hops and whatnot.
Well, I've loved that style, that hop flavor for many, many years. And so the more beers that you can get to have that, the better.
I will say I would like to try the Space Needle as a fresh IPA and compare that. But
agreed.
With what we tried today, it wasn't gonna make the list.
Yep.
Well, guys, I think it's gonna Kira might surprise us, but I think it might be a consensus show tonight. I'm going Log Yard. It's an easy choice for me.
Wait. So Steve's beer of the day was an IPA?
Well, you know, I did like the, I mean, same thing all you guys said, right? The Honey Kolsch was a very, you know, well-crafted beer. I tip my hat to Rogue for that one. But I feel like it's kind of an IPA show, and I want to stick with the theme here. And, I mean, the Log Yard really did win hands down for me. And along with what you guys said, I mean, you know, Dow was mentioning the fruit and hop and floral hops of the beer. I enjoyed it because I thought it wasn't overly hopped. I mean, I thought it was actually pretty mellow. I'm not a big hop guy, and I thought that it was just a perfect balance of fruit and hop flavor.
It's a style of hop that avoids the bitterness, and I think that's what you like about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Kira.
It's definitely one for all or all for one consensus. I'm going with the Log Yard IPA as well. I do like my IPAs in general, but with the kind of fruitier factor, it was a little bit different than what I'm used to, and it definitely caught my attention. Rogue Farms was a good close runner-up, but I'm definitely going to go with the Log Yard IPA.
So Backwoods Brewing, great job.
All right, well, let's close out our Pacific Northwest show. We got to try a couple of good Seattle beers, Washington beers, and Oregon beers, and I think it became clear that we definitely have to do a Washington beercation and try some more beers from up there, because we've only scratched the surface here. Next week, we will have a new show for you. We have a couple options coming up here. We're going to be doing a live show from a brewery in the LA area. I can't get into specifics yet because it hasn't been finalized, but that will be upcoming. We also have a show of Cincinnati beers. So whatever it is, we will see you next time. For Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.